So we want to welcome you who are tuning in online and give you a couple of seconds to connect. And I also want to say thank you for your patience. As we work through some items on this end, we're glad that you would join us. We're glad that you're tuning in. We have just finished worship. So if you missed that part, if part of the reason you tune in is to sing with us, then go to the website this week and watch that first half. But what I want to do before we get into tonight's word from God, before we open a scripture, Mr. Steve wants to tell you what's going on at Westbridge. So have your pens down. Lots of great things.
Hello, Westbridge. Hello, everybody at home. Yes, it's an odd thing that you don't get to see and hear the ladies sing. You will enjoy it. It's going to be worth, when Derek and Sarah put this together, their yeoman effort to go and see that. I'd like to invite Paul. If you can't see Paul, open up your eyes and take your sunglasses off. Paul is going to come around and he's going to take our offering. This is a time when people who call Westbridge their home support the ministry. If it is your first night here, we ask you to let the basket pass you by. All right, this is our night to worship, to minister to you. So bless you all. And on the back of your sermon notes, there's a way that you at home, if you got your sermon notes and downloaded them, or can go to the website, westbridgecc.org, and can set up giving. Baptism and Family Day at the Belvedere Pool, Saturday, August 27th at 10 a.m. Okay, so just like that, it's 54 degrees out at night. So hopefully that's that day, that Saturday, it will be warm. So Jen asked me when we were at home getting ready, do you think I'll be hot at the church? Jen's hot every time she comes to church. So hopefully you'll be able to attend. There will be people being baptized. That's in the morning. And guess what? If you come in the morning and are at the baptism, there will be food and you can stay all day at the pool. Make it a fun day for the family, kids, invite the neighbors, people from work, anybody you can, everybody is welcome. Women's group is this Wednesday. Keep an eye on the website, touch base with your leaders. They're setting something up. Prayer and purpose, or what I like to say is prayer on purpose, September 6th at 6:30 here. So if you've never experienced a prayer and purpose night, we get together, we pray for everything and anything that comes onto our heart. We have some worship music played. It's a wonderful night to just center yourself and to share your heart about others. Speaking of prayer, we have, after every service, someone over here to my left, your right, to pray for you. And we have prayer cards in the back of each seat. Tonight we have a Hall of Famer over there. So if you need a prayer afterwards, go over. It is totally confidential. So are your prayer cards, unless you want them not to be confidential. Your prayer cards are actually shared with the prayer team, who is confidential. So if I said confidential enough, I hope so. Westbridge teams, if you have a heart to do anything here to help, whether you're going to be on the soundboard or with a computer or try to get Facebook to play or to clean or anything, please see Pastor Robert, please see Derek, please see Miss Linda, and get set up with something, or Sarah actually, get set up to do something here. Give back a little bit. If it doesn't work for you, don't feel, well, you might feel funny anyway, but don't feel funny. You can... What are you showing me? Oh, yes. And on the back of the sermon notes, you can also scan a code and sign up for those things too. Thank you, Sarah. So I would invite Pastor Robert up to share the message tonight, and it's going to be a good one.
Thank you, Mr. Steve. And that baptism, you are all invited. You are invited. There's a card on that welcome table. If you have not been baptized, baptism is something that God asks us to do. It has nothing to do with our faith. God just wants us to tell others that we've chosen him. And we do that publicly in the pool. So if you're interested, you want to know more about that, you want to talk to me about that, I would love to talk to you about that. If you're someone who says, well, I want to investigate on my own, I'm a little nervous, well, back in the back room, there's actually a push pin, some papers there. Kind of says, well, why should I get baptized? And it's a way to start researching, a way to start understanding. Just because you talk to me doesn't mean you're in. It is your decision whether or not you want to be baptized. But it's something that God asks us to do. It's an exciting day. It is the best day on the Westbridge calendar. And again, that's Saturday the 27th of August. So, this past weekend, those of you who are here know that Mishanda and I, we were not here. We were away at our grandson Cole's first birthday. Yeah, can you believe it? I'm old enough to have a grandfather. I'm going to be a grandfather. I look young, right? Right? As soon as Shanda cuts that gray back off. You know, the first year of his life has just flown by. He's changed so much in this first year. He's literally grown up greatly. He's taller. He's heavier. He looks different than when he was born. His eyes have changed color. He still doesn't have a lot of hair, but he has a lot more than he did. And over this first year, he learned to roll over. He learned how to sit up. Then he learned how to crawl. He learned how to pull himself up and stand and shimmy around the coffee table. And then he learned how to climb. And then really, literally, in the past 2 weeks, at some point overnight, he took to walking like a pro, and they can't stop him. His motor skills are developing. His little fingers are picking up things that are tiny, that are big. And over this first year, he went from formula to different stages of baby food. And now, in addition to those things, he's trying out different big people food that's appropriate for a young baby, of course. And he's found his voice, which is super cool. What started as an undiscernible cry, now you can kind of figure out what's going on. And it's an understandable one. He's beginning to speak, and while he's not using words other than, you know, an unending ma, 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 or a da, 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 he's clearly trying to communicate. I mean, when we get on a video with him, he grunts. He goes, ah. Or he goes, and we know it because he does it. He does the first one with me and the second one, or vice versa, with Shanda. We know he's trying to communicate. He knows us. And he's so smart. Because when he hears that FaceTime, I don't know if you've done that, but it has a particular sound. It doesn't matter where he's at in their apartment. He runs, waiting for whose face is going to show up. He knows what's going on. He's smart. What's truly remarkable with Cole is to see his childlike faith. How he trusts Lord and Jake just with everything, without hesitation. How he loves, how he accepts everybody. And it's amazing to see the joy that he has. It's funny because Lauren will get ready to take a picture and she'll call out, she'll say, cheese, and he'll go. It's just hilarious. And his face transforms. And his curiosity is off the charts. He's into everything. Across this year, Cole has changed so much, which is really the case, you know, for all babies, all young children as they engage each and every day with the pursuit of learning, with that childlike faith. Because quite frankly, this is the way life is supposed to be, a journey of faith. Life is supposed to be a journey of learning, a journey of joy, a journey of continually growing, and a journey of continual change. Change is a major part of life. Would you agree? Change is essential in our life. God created us with the ability and the capability to change. In fact, his goal for each one of us is to transform us, to change us from who we are to who he wants us to be. And managing change is really one of the most important areas organizations focus on. They have to deal with that to be successful and maintain their success. Virtually every organization would have change management in their training agenda for their employees and associates. Thousands upon thousands of quotes have been written about change, and here's just a few interesting ones. It's been said, and I'm sure many of you heard, change is the only constant in life. There's nothing permanent except change. Or perhaps this one, change is inevitable. Change is constant. And this last one, the only thing you can count on is change. While these quotes may tell you something about what happens to human beings, what happens to us in this life, they're really not entirely correct in their assertion pertaining, because change doesn't involve or pertain to everything. The truth is, change is not the only constant. Change is not the only thing you can count on. And change is not the only thing that's permanent. While many things, if not most things, you and I engage in our life changes, thankfully there is something, specifically someone, who never changes. Scripture clearly teaches that God is unchanging. The churchy word for that is immutable. You have that on your outlines already. That's the attribute of God that I want to talk about tonight. Over the last several months, we've been talking about God's attributes. Scripture, self, where he in Scripture, he reveals himself. Tell us who he is. Tonight, we're going to talk about his unchanging nature. The prophet Malachi captures this self-revelation from God in the first half of Malachi 3:6. He says, "I am the Lord, and I do not change." The word used for the Lord in the original Hebrew here is Jehovah, which means self-existent, eternal Lord. The name by which the Jewish nation frequently used to refer to God, actually. And in this verse, God tells us two very important truths about his nature. First, I am Jehovah, the eternal Lord. God clearly explains he has no beginning. He has no end. He's existed for eternity past. He will exist for eternity future. And God's existence is way more than permanent. It's eternal. And second, of course, is tonight's attribute of study, where God tells us, I do not change. Psalm 102 captures a prayer by a psalmist who pours out their problems to God. This person is overwhelmed with trouble. In verse 1 and 2, the person says, "Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. Bend down to listen and answer me quickly when I call you." And in this passage, when you read it at home, the psalmist, you'll see, cries out many things that are troubling them, such as, tells God, "My bones burn like red-hot coals." He says, "My heart is sick. I lie awake lonely as a solitary bird on the roof," the psalmist says. "My enemies taunt me day and night. And I'm withering away like grass, Lord," he says. The changes experienced in life as this psalmist becomes older, their increasing challenges that confront this individual, they're starting to take their toll. Yet the psalmist is certain God is who he says he is. Because here's what he declares in verse 18 of that psalm, Psalm 102. "Let this be recorded for future generations, so that a people not yet born will praise the Lord." The psalmist then goes on to praise God for his eternal, unchanging nature in verse 27. Starting with verse 25, I'll read, "Long ago you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you will remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them. But you are always the same. You will live forever." Although the things in the universe that you and I engage in, you and I see and don't see, well, they will change. God will never change. But you, God, are always the same, the psalmist declares. Point one in your outlines is this: God can be counted on. Because God is unchanging, he never changes. His nature and his character can be counted on. Counted on for what? Many of you may ask. Well, let me start and we'll talk about the things we've already studied and learned regarding who God is. Because first, we can trust in everything that God says in his word, the Bible, because God's word can be counted on. We already saw in Scripture where God is all-knowing. Well, if you couple that with his unchanging nature, God will never know less than everything there is to know. Even more, God in his infinite wisdom, he doesn't keep all that knowledge to himself. He gives his knowledge freely away. He wrote down what you and I need to know in order to understand him, in order that we understand the world around us, in order that we would understand what salvation is and how to live in a way in which that imitates Christ through the power of his Spirit. You know, several years ago, there was an anonymous article in Christianity Today entitled, "My Conversation with God." And here's how that article began. The article said, "Does God still speak?" Well, I grew up hearing testimonies about it, this person said, but until October 2005, I couldn't say it ever happened to me. I'm a middle-aged professor of theology at a well-known Christian university. I've written award-winning books. My name is on Christianity Today's masthead. For years, I taught that God still speaks, but I couldn't testify to it personally, this person said. I can only do so now anonymously for reasons I hope will be clear. A year after hearing God's voice, I still can't talk or even think about my conversation with God without being overcome by emotion. Then this anonymous professor went on to talk about this experience that they had where God supernaturally revealed to them a book outline and a book title and directed this individual to then donate all the proceeds of that book so that a person could go to school and prepare for ministry. And then he finished the article by saying, "Well, that experience really strengthened my faith. And it's great that I've finally been able to have God speak to me personally." Well, you know, it's a good story, but one crucial way, he's wrong. That article gives the impression that God does not normally speak to us personally. The article leaves us feeling as though God speaking to us through his word is inferior or less exciting, less edifying means of communication. We can't help but conclude, well, yeah, the Bible's important, but what a treasure if God would just vocally speak to me right now. If I could only hear from him. I mean, it sounds amazing. Quite frankly, the good news, which this article totally missed, is that every single one of us can hear from God today, right now, at this very moment, because God still speaks. God never stopped speaking. And his word, he has a word for us, and it's sure. It's steady. It's unerring. The Bible will always be valuable. Its teachings will always be relevant for how we understand the world and how we're supposed to live according to the timeless truth of what he says. The Bible, quite frankly, is God speaking to you and me today. That is the personal experience. That's the best, because that is his inerrant word. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed this in Isaiah 48. "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Author Kevin DeYoung asserts in his book, Taking God at His Word, the Bible is unbreakable. And we know that because Scripture tells us that. But he also says the Bible is final. The Bible is enough, and the Bible is necessary. And he goes on to unpack Scripture, asserting those four points. It's an excellent book. You know, we just served at the Warren County Fair the week before last. We have a booth. We've done it all but the two COVID years that messed us up. And we just go. We serve lemonade, free candy and balloons. And if people are curious about the church, then we tell them. If not, we want them to enjoy the fair. That's what God's asked us to do. And we have Bibles that are sitting out, and there are full Bibles, and there's some New Testaments out there. And I was talking to a person, and they asked me, I said, why do companies only publish the New Testament? Why do they only publish the New Testament? And I told the person, well, I don't know. I think in part it's because some individuals view the Old Testament as something that's not as applicable for Christians, because it talks about God's interaction with human beings before Jesus, whereas the New Testament focuses on God's interaction with human beings after Jesus. So I think that's maybe a reason. I'm not 100% sure. It is God's word. And then I went on to reaffirm, without a doubt, here at Westbridge, we believe all 66 books of the Bible are God's inspired, infallible word. And we teach from all 66 books of that Bible. So while there are interpretations and application challenges that Christians encounter reading the Old Testament, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We're told in 2 Timothy 3:16. Really, the Bible as a whole, I went on to explain a little bit, well, it shows the relationships of all the parts of the Old Testament to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament points us to Jesus. So it should be very important to us as Christians. Studying and properly understanding all of God's word enables us to map out the Bible's unity by looking at its message as a whole. And having that bird's eye view as well as the detailed view helps us understand the way in which all the parts of the Bible fit together in a coherent whole. Jesus, he's told us his mission was to fulfill scripture, not to abolish it. We're told in Matthew 5:17. In the Old Testament, it tells us the story of our history, the truth of our creation. It tells us how sin entered the world and how we got separated from God. That's all written down for us in the Old Testament. It captures the history of God's chosen people and affirms over and over we needed a Savior who can once and for all redeem the world and do something that we could never, restore the world to a perfect kingdom of the original creation. So as Christians, we are a part of God's epic story told throughout all of Scripture, and we're a key part of his rescue plan for mankind. The Bible tells us about our past. It helps us make sense of the world around us when we consider sin, and it makes clear there's eternal future behind and beyond physical death. These essential truths are important for Christians to understand so that we can be salt and light, Matthew 5 tells us, in the world, and in turn tell others about the gospel message and salvation. You know what else we can count on? God's sovereignty, which we studied before. We can rest on the truth that God will use his sovereignty in a manner that's consistent with his character. God is in complete and total control. His unlimited sovereignty will never change because he's sovereign and he's unchanging. It can't change. It's impossible because God's nature doesn't change. Jesus said in Matthew 19:6, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Furthermore, God's holiness can be counted on. And God's righteousness can be counted on. God's righteous and will always be righteous, as well as God's justice can be counted on. Romans 2:6-8 brings these together, says this, he will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath, on those who will live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth, and instead live lives of wickedness. You and I, we can count on God. He cannot be holy, righteous, and just to some people, and unholy to others. Scripture in Ephesians 6:9 tells us that God has no partiality. Westbridge, this scriptural truth of God being unchanging should significantly bolster our faith. Pastor Sam Storms writes this about the good news of God's unchanging nature. He says, what all this means, very simply, is that God is dependable. Our trust in him is therefore a confident trust. For we know that he will not, indeed cannot, change. His purposes are unfailing. His promises unassailable. It is because the God who promised us eternal life is immutable that we may rest assured that nothing, not trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger, or sword, shall separate us from the love of Christ. Pastor Storm's words at the end of this bear reference to what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter in Romans 8, verse 35 through 39, where he says, where he poses a question, he said, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? And then he goes on to unpack that question by saying, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it's because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever that neither angels or demons, nothing else in creation will ever be able to separate us from him. This passage highlights a very important point regarding God's unchanging nature that you and I can also count on. Because God's commitment does not change. His commitment will not change. Every promise God has made will come to pass. God's commitment to do all he said will be fulfilled. His eternal kingdom plan set in motion in the Garden of Eden, that's going to happen. Jesus will return once and for all. He will deal with Satan. And those who have placed their faith in Christ, we will be given fully new, transformed, perfect bodies, as Scripture indicates. Amen. Believers in Christ are not subject to a second death. Rather, we will live out eternity in the presence of God. As a child, I used to sing this song entitled Count Your Blessings. How many remember that? Yep. Count your blessings one by one. I am not going to go any further. You can thank me later for not singing. So it sounds like a lot of you are familiar with that. Well, after singing it, our pastor would say, whenever you feel down, whenever you feel like you're having a bad day, then just count your blessings. It'll make you feel better. Well, at a young age, I didn't really understand what count my blessings really meant. At that time, I thought this song was about all the stuff I had. Well, God, well, thank you for my bike. Well, thank you for that football. Well, thank you that I had ice cream for dinner. And thank you for the nice life. Thank you for the parents. Thank you that I don't live in that house with that stuff and all those other things. And I thought it was about the stuff here that I'd been given. But since then, the Bible has helped me better understand the importance of counting the right blessings. Every day, you and I should remember the blessings that each believer, as a believer, I have received from God. We should celebrate the fact that God would never take these blessings away from us. Consider the blessing of his unchanging faithfulness. We talked about God's faithfulness. Well, because he's unchanging, he will always be faithful. He can't change that. It'll never diminish. God's faithfulness can be counted on. God granted us forgiveness and healing when only we could offer him our sins, our diseases, our weaknesses, our frailties. He offered us his strength. He offered us his faithfulness. Consider the blessing of his salvation. God redeemed you and me from spiritual peril. And he offered us unconditional love, along with an extremely personal and immeasurable level of tender mercy. There's no greater gift to the person who places their faith in Christ than salvation. Because as believers in Christ, eternal security, our eternal security, can be counted on. One writer put it like this: God's unchanging commitment guarantees eternal security. When an individual comes to know Christ as their personal Savior, that person is brought into an everlasting personal relationship with God. Jude 24 says this: Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. God's unchanging, all-powerful nature is able to keep the believer from falling, Scripture tells us. It's not up to us, it's up to God. He'll be the one to present us. Jesus will be the one to present us in front of God's glorious presence. Our eternal security is a result of God keeping us, Scripture says. His commitment to us is to maintain our salvation, to protect that. It's guaranteed because Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. God is not only committed to his promise of eternal security, God also promises to be our source of ongoing spiritual power and stamina as we live out our faith journey in his name. This means that God's power, we talked about his all-powerful nature, can be counted on. If you couple that with unchanging nature, God will never be less powerful, we studied. It also means that nothing else could achieve more power. Nothing else could be more powerful than God. As proclaimed through the words of a Phil Wickham song, Battle Belongs, nothing can stand against the power of God. Whenever you and I need our heart to be propped up, whenever we need to be restored to who God is in us, then God will be there to energize our spirit, to enable us to make it through another day. David in Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, gives us a model for how we can begin each day, even today, thinking about the right blessings that God gives us to be thankful for. David says this. He says, Let all that I am praise the Lord with all my heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eagles. This leads us to tonight's takeaway. Allow the unchanging God to change you. This is the same advice Paul gave to the Romans in Romans 12:2. He said, Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let me show you a video of what that exactly looks like.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh, why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait, wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
you can't want.
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Gosh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
You are original masterpiece. As our time tonight draws to a close, then I want you to take a few moments and just praise God for his unchanging nature. Praise God because his commitment to you could not be stronger. His love for you could not be greater. Friends, God is unchanging, but you and I, we're meant to change. You and I are God's original masterpiece. He created us with the ability and capability for growing, for learning, for changing from the moment of conception through our final breath, awaiting perfect and final transformation at the end of time when Christ returns. God is in the business of changing hearts. God's in the business of transforming your life. God's not only secured your eternal salvation, if you've given your life to him, he wants to continually lead you through life transformation. Transformation possible when you and I submit to God's process. A process whereby he chisels away the things that don't belong in order to grow in their place character that is like Christ. A process where we seek God, where we seek his unchanging word. We seek the truth and wisdom that he's told us. To the power of his spirit, we apply it to our lives. As the worship team comes forward and leads us in a final song as we close, talk to God, praise him, and then ask God to pick up the hammer and the chisel. Decide right now that you are going to allow the unchanging God to change you wherever and whenever he shows you. Because when you do, you can count on God to do his part. God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote this down in 46:4. God says to you and I, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your unchanging nature. Thank you for being there when we need you. Thank you for being there when we don't want you. Thank you for never leaving our side. Father, we submit to the process of change. I submit to the process of change. Reveal your truth like you never have before. Show us the wisdom of your word. Show us what we should do and chisel away what doesn't belong. Though it may be painful, Father, we ask you to continue your work in us so that you can use us to tell others about the work of your Son, to tell others about grace and mercy that's available for free because your love is so great. As we leave this place, God, I pray that you keep us safe. Be with those who are not with us. Be with those who are watching online and those here, that we would join together in your presence next Saturday night. Father, we love you. In the name of your Son, keep us safe. Amen. Have a great week. Westbridge, see you next week, 7 o'clock.